96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We've all heard someone talk about it, and we've all felt it. Ooh-wee. Stress. Yeah, too much on your plate and just overwhelmed. But what does that really mean? And how do you deal with it? April is National Stress Awareness Month, and my guests are sharing some insight about it. Dr. Thomas Mellman is the director of the Sleep Stress Research Program at Howard University's School of Medicine. And Kiki Ramsey is a certified life coach, mother, entrepreneur. She probably has two dogs, a cat, and goldfish. The whole nine. That certainly can lead to a stressful life. We're going to talk about how she deals with it as well. Lines are open if you are dealing with stress or perhaps don't know how to deal with stress. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Mellman, good to see you again.
Oh, nice to see you, Harold. Thanks for having me.
And Kiki, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Harold.
So, Dr. Mellman, give me a working definition of stress. How do you know that you're stressed?
Okay, well, stress is how the mind and the body respond to challenges. And stress is not always a bad thing. A certain amount of stress motivates us and keeps us going. But stress can be bad when a person is stuck. And when it has negative effects on sleep and health more broadly.
What's the difference between stress and excitement?
Well, we generally think of excitement as being positive, and a person can be excited about overcoming something stressful, training and competing or, an opportunity that they're successful in achieving. And I do think there's some overlap, but when we think of bad stress or problematic stress, a person's optimal function is interfered with. A person may be stuck. They may just be thinking the same thing over and over again as opposed to problem solving constructively. Mm-hmm. We need sleep to restore our mind and bodies to function in optimal ways. And sometimes stress can lead to repetitive kinds of thinking, ruminative thinking at night that keeps us awake, or we can awake from sleep. When we're under stress, our sympathetic nervous system kicks in and it elevates our heart rate and makes our muscles more tense and we're ready to do something. And in the immediate moment of an athletic competition, that may be advantageous, but we don't want it to go on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we have to disrupt these cycles where stress can render us dysfunctional and or unhealthy.
Is it possible to be stressed and not know it?
Certainly. If a person is irritable in a way they're not normally, not figuring things out in the way they have the capacity to do, not getting to sleep at night, this may be related to stress, the way they're responding to stress. And it's not always something a person is aware of. And
I also think, too, like with that, I think that a lot of people may not know how to pinpoint where the stress is coming from, like Dr. Mellman was saying. So it could be so many different things. It could be your job. It could be your kids. It could be just the fact that you're just unhappy with where you are in your life. And so you might not know what that is. Therefore, you might not know how to deal with the stress itself.
But in your case, okay, you know, you came in here, no wrinkles on your forehead. You were smiling, happy the whole bit. What do you know about stress?
I know a lot about stress. I mean, like you said, I'm a mother of a one-year-old. She's about to be one. I also have a 23-year-old as well. And so
Oh, wow.
Okay. And I'm a wife. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm also in school to get my PhD in business psychology. So I know a lot about stress when it comes to just having a lot of things on your plate. But what you have to do is you have to learn how to put things on a list and then figure out what you're going to manage. You're not going to manage everything 100%. That's what we think. We think of balance a lot of times. We're giving everything 50-50, but that's not how life really is. At this time, I might be giving my daughter, 85% on this day, and then I might give something else 15%. But you can't give everything 100% all the time and think that things are just going to be okay.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about stress. How do you know when you are overloaded? How do you know when you're under stress? And how do you address it physically, emotionally, mentally? How do you deal with your stress? Kiki, you just ran down this laundry list of things. Have you always been so good in handling stress, or has there been a time when you struggled with dealing with stress? And if so, what was it like?
Yeah, no. So I have definitely struggled with stress within my life. And I grew up sleeping on a couch in a crack house while my mom was upstairs getting high.
And that's so stressful, I would imagine.
Very stressful. Yeah. And so I actually got thrown into stress at a very, very young age. And so my life was very chaotic. And so it's very funny, because even when I married my husband, I was like, we don't argue a lot. He was like, you want to argue? And I'm like, not really, but I'm so used to that stressful situation that I was, I needed it to survive until I learned a new way of just taking a step back and saying, okay, this is not how I want to live my life. Well, the question is, how do you want to live your life? I want to live my life with less stress. Mm-hmm. And so I had to learn how to take time out so that I could figure out how to move forward in my life with all the things that I really wanted to do.
Dr. Melman, do some people deal with stress differently or better than others?
Of course. Let me just take a moment to say that a lot of my work is with severe trauma, which would certainly be consistent with what Kiki was talking about growing up. But, people have been in wars. People have been exposed to violence in both war zones and stressful urban environments. And, we work with post-traumatic stress. In studying that, I think we learned some models for how to optimally deal with stress. It seems that avoidance is not helpful. If there's something confronting a person, including very difficult memories, trying not to think about something doesn't work, and it doesn't lead to any problem solving or processing. So the converse of that is that when people have a social support system and they're able to talk about what they've experienced, they're able to have new types of emotional experiences and interpersonal relationships that can be healing. But avoidance and withdrawal, which is a common reaction to overwhelming stress, makes things worse over time.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about stress tonight. How do you know when you're under stress? How do you know when, or how do you know how to deal with it?
Let me go. And Harold, one very important barometer I just want to mention and factor is sleep. Sleep can really be restorative. A person can go to sleep and wake up with a new, fresh perspective on something, or they can stay up all night, or they can have bad dreams and wake up and feel even more troubled than before. So I think that's something I'm very interested in. And I think important to the equation.
And I want to talk a little bit more about that as well. But first, let me go to the phone line. Shelley calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Shelley, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go right ahead.
So I was just telling the young lady who answered the phone, I began Pilates. I've been taking yoga this past weekend. I just went to a family counselor, or a personal counselor for mm-hmm. my children. I'm a mother of four, I am taking care of my children by myself. This is the first time I've ever done that. I've actually been feeling wonderful, but the last 3 or 4 days, I've been feeling tightness in my chest. My heart has been racing. I have not necessarily felt lightheaded, but I've been very stressed. And it's so crazy that you all are speaking of this tonight, because I've been talking to people about it all day long, mm-hmm. as far as my stress level. And I'm just trying to figure out, are there other exercises, or are there other things? I have been having problems sleeping. I seem to get up during the night and find things to do, washing clothes.
Well, let me see if Dr. Melman can address some of those issues. Dr. Melman?
So what you're describing are symptoms of anxiety.
I have very bad anxiety.
And anxiety sometimes can be a signal that something's going on that requires your attention. So like Ms. Ramsey was saying before, that there's, you know, sometimes identifying what's stressing you can be very helpful and directing your attention to what you have to deal with or what you should be dealing with. But sometimes anxiety ends up having a life of its own. And the exercise, the yoga and the Pilates you're doing, I think are very good. In general, exercise is excellent for stress. If the type of thing you're describing goes on for days and days, I would see a physician, you know, to get checked out. There may be a value in short-term use of medication, but that's only if because it's normal to have anxiety during stressful times, and it usually subsides when the stress subsides or you're able to deal with it. But if that's not occurring, then professional help can be indicated.
Kiki.
And Shelley, you know, as a life coach, I would say for you that ask yourself certain questions like, is there something in my life that has really changed that is different? Not the exercising, because I do agree with Dr. Melman that, you know, that's a good thing that you're doing. But is there something that has changed in your life that's a major change that is causing this? And then once you pinpoint that, you have to go deeper to figure out what the root cause of the problem is. Because what sounds like that's happening is that surface problem. So you're seeing this on the surface, but there's always a root cause to every problem that you see on the surface. And so you need to dig deep and ask yourself those questions about what has changed.
Okay. Thank you so much, Shelley, for calling in, and good luck as you try to address your stresses. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Lines are open. We are talking about stress, what it is, how do you deal with it, where it comes from. Let's quickly talk to Vince. Vincent, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I just want to say, I just turned 56.
Congratulations.
And within 4 months, I lost my job. I had to deal with unemployment. I had spinal surgery where I had to learn to walk again. I'm learning to walk again. And I was dismissed by my wife. So all of this hit me at once, and I'm just wondering at this time in my life, how do I deal with, you know, stressful situations like that?
I
do the prayer. I'm praying all the time, but is there something else that I can do?
Vincent, before we answer your question, I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to ask you to hang on so that you can hear what my guests have to say about your situation. Also, Donna calling from D.C. and B calling from D.C. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue, and we will continue to take phone calls as well on 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, talking about stress, where it comes from, what it is, and how to deal with it. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about stress tonight. April is National Stress Awareness Month. And certainly if you're stressed, I'm sure you're acutely aware of your stresses. And so tonight we are talking about something that everyone has experienced. Dr. Thomas Melman is the director of sleep stress research. at Howard University's School of Medicine. Also, we have Kiki Ramsey, certified life coach, mother, and entrepreneur. Lines are open if you have a question or a comment at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, we were talking to Vincent, who has quite a bit to deal with. Dr. Melman, your thoughts about how he should deal with his stresses.
So, Vincent, you haven't said much about how you're doing and coping with all this, but it really, when it rains, it pours for you. I mean, it doesn't. Those are three major life stressors that have happened to you all at once. So I think it's important in this kind of situation to monitor how you're doing, and also to take one step at a time, to prioritize. It sounds to me like, having gone through a similar process with the spine, that your physical rehabilitation may be a number one priority. I don't know the status of your relationship ending, but if there's unfinished business there, and of course we need employment to get along in life. So that's a lot to be dealing with all at once. But perhaps the physical rehabilitation is step one, and you need to prioritize and focus. And I think as you engage in the process, And cope with number one, and then number two, and then number three, you'll move along, and it'll get better from this particular low point.
Kiki, he mentioned prayer. Obviously, for a lot of people, that's a start. Beyond that, your thoughts about what Vincent is experiencing?
Absolutely. I think that prayer is, very very good start. When it comes to having a lot of stresses in your life, you do, like Dr. Melman said, you need to prioritize what's most important to you, because all of it is not going to get fixed at one time. And then you have to take one day at a time. So I think that the way you think about your situation and the way you speak about your situation has a lot to do with how you're going to deal with the situation. So, for instance, if you're speaking, negative words out your mouth about your situation, because it is bad. However, you don't have to speak negatively about it in public, because what happens is it perpetuates the cycle. And so it doesn't give you a chance to actually think about how you can these situations. So I would say, first of all, watch what you say, because that will actually then help you change your mindset about your situation. And then literally figure out which one you want to start with and say, I'm going to have some resilience around this issue. I'm going to literally tackle this issue one step at a time. And from there, you'll start to see yourself progressing, because that's all we really need when we have stress. It's just a little bit of progress at a time, and that equals big progress.
Mm-hmm. Vincent, thank you so much for sharing with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Donna. Donna calling from D.C. Donna, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
Doing just fine. Go right ahead.
Great. I have dealt with stress for so long. It's kind of manageable now. Used to the ups and downs in life. I mean, I lost my job years ago and got another job, and I started exercising and always go to church and praying. So therefore, I just kind of, get up in the morning and pray, and then I'll walk and I'll exercise and just do things that'll keep me busy from thinking about the hardships and the things I've gone through. But basically what I do now, it seems like you got stress coming from all ends, left to the right, front and back, And so I've just been able to manage and try to do one stressful event at a time. And I know you can't choose family, but I have one relative that's very, very hard to get along with.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that person has to come over where I live. I went through a problem with them in the real estate deal that went bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that they're following me everywhere I go. And they even told me that they didn't like me.
So Donna, let me stop you real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So you said you've been dealing with this issue for 30 years, but it sounds to me as if the key word is dealing with. In other words, are you able to comfortably manage your stress?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How?
I manage my stress by trying to avoid this person that's a family member, and I pray, and I just try to have limited conversations with them because they have to come over to visit an older relative of mine that I happen to have to be the caretaker of.
I see. Well, thank you so much for your input. I want to ask Dr. Melman about that. You spoke earlier about avoidance, Dr. Melman, and suggesting that it's not a good thing. In Donna's case, she is avoiding the, according to her, the main cause of her stress. What is the opposite of avoidance in dealing with stress?
Well, I guess we have to qualify everything. Certainly limiting your contact with a toxic individual is sounds to me like a very rational and healthy and reasonable thing to do. I think it's harmful to avoid thinking about problems when you're confronted with them, when they intrude on you. It sounds like Donna's been coping with this situation and other stressful situations for a long time. And, you know, the goal ultimately is to not be preoccupied by things that are troubling. But I suspect that Donna has mentally grappled with situations over time that now she does not have to be preoccupied with them.
But should people avoid, short of a person, should people avoid the cause of their stress? Should they not try to hit it head on in one way or another?
Well, I think it all depends. If you're stressed by your finances, the best thing to do is to figure out where they are, what your best strategy is, and then to move forward. You know, in coping with difficult situations, one can ruminate, which means think like a broken record. Or one can address the problem and, okay, what's my best strategy for moving ahead with this? How do I solve this problem? And that can actually feel good.
I think in Donna's situation is more difficult to avoid because this person is a family member.
And following her wherever she goes,
right,
according to what she was suggesting.
Right. So I think it's really difficult when you have to avoid someone that's a family member that's causing you stress. And I've gotten that question a lot of times when people say, well, what if, it's my spouse, or what if it's, my sibling or my mom who's causing me that stress? And when it's those people, I think that the avoidance is definitely difficult, but you're going to have to figure out a way to either distance yourself in a healthy way or deal with the problem, because there are a lot of problems that sometimes we don't want to deal with that are rectifiable. But because we're so angry, we haven't taken a step back from our anger and tried to see the situation from a different side. Therefore, we avoid, which then makes our life much harder. And that's what it sounds like is happening to Donna.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to B. Calling from D.C. What's on your mind, B?
Hi. Thank you for having this topic.
Sure.
This evening. I've been stressing as recent as yesterday, and I have a brother that kind of depends on me a lot. I have other siblings that kind of moved on with their lives, and I've kind of been left alone with this one particular brother. He's an older brother, like 13 years older. He's been sick, pretending to go to the doctor. He's diabetic, and this resulted in him having to have his leg amputated. So now this is a whole different ball game, and I've been the one running to the hospital to check on him, and keeping them company, taking them out to the movies.
So let me stop you there, B. I think we have a general understanding of where your stress is coming from. It has to do with a brother that you love that you have to take care of. Suggestions, Kiki, for what she should do. Obviously, her brother can't take care of himself.
Right, absolutely, B. And I'm so sorry that you have to deal with all of this, seems like, by yourself. But one of the things that you can do is you're going to have to take it one day at a time. You got to understand that you're only human and you can't do everything. Now, I know that being the younger sister and being that one who's responsible, you think that you have to take care of everything. But if you have other siblings and stuff like that, if they know that you're going to be the responsible one to step up, then they might be waiting back in the wings saying, I know that B is going to take care of this, so therefore I don't have to step up. So if you actually say, put your foot down and say, hey, I need your help. I need you all to help me and I can't do this. Chances are they may step up and start helping you because you're not the first one that's quick to jump and do everything for your brother.
But let us assume that they don't step up.
Yeah, and that's the case because I've done this with my mom. My mom has passed. Mm-hmm. Now my brother needs help. Now he doesn't live with me. He's in a group home, but right now in a nursing facility. And I give them the number to call him. They won't come see him. Yeah. They won't do anything.
Well, let me stop you again and see if Dr. Melman can share some thoughts. Dr. Melman?
Well, I think... Ms. Ramsey hit the nail on the head with, you know, I wouldn't necessarily give up on trying to incorporate your other siblings into helping. But also just coming to terms with what you can reasonably do and what's beyond your capacity at this time is helpful in coping.
I mean, I think that, B, you can't do more than you can do. And so if you, in your heart of hearts, understand that you're doing the best that you can, that's going to have to be sufficient. And so why worry? Why stress yourself out about all the other things that you can't do because you are doing the best that you can? I mean, there's nothing else that you can do. If you are literally putting in your 100%, doing the best that you can, you need to be able to help say, I'm satisfied with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
You're absolutely right, and you hit the nail right on the head. And I thank you all for your
a good metaphor is whenever we go on an airline, they say put the mask on yourself first so you can help others.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well said. B, thank you so much for sharing with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to talk about the different types of stress. I've got about a minute or so before the break, Dr. Melman, but you mentioned PTSD. Outside of that, are there any other kinds of stress that we should be aware of?
Well, PTSD is a consequence, not an inevitable consequence, but a consequence of traumatic stress where a person experiences something life-threatening or horrific. There's the stress that's more of a strain in terms of a job that, you know, every day you go to and you're not adequately recognized or helped or, tasked to do things that aren't doable. There's loss, you know, which can be by separation or divorce or end of relationships or death. All these affect the mind and the body in ways that overlap but are also distinct.
Interesting. I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about addressing your stress. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
Sirius XM Channel 141.
To the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about addressing stress in your life. Where does it come from? What is it? And how do you deal with it? Earlier, Dr. Melman, you spoke about the role that sleep can play in relieving stress. But is it possible that even during the sleep process, stress can present during even when you're asleep?
Absolutely. And how sleep responds to stress, I think, is an important indicator of whether a person's coping is working or not. So if you go to sleep and wake up feeling refreshed, you still have things to deal with. But it sounds like you're on the right track. Whereas if a person, number one, has trouble getting to sleep or staying asleep, and perhaps they have restless sleep or disturbing dreams that relate in some way to what's going on, then their sleep is not restorative. And their stress is bleeding into their sleep activity.
What about, you mentioned disturbing dreams, but what about people who just have vivid dreams or a series of highly vivid dreams? Not necessarily disturbing, but certainly dreams that they remember. You could wake up in the morning and say, golly, I had four separate dreams in the course of my sleeping. What is that a sign of? Is that stress?
It can be the sign of creativity for some people.
Okay.
There are a number of famous, I won't enumerate them now, but there are a number of famous creative achievements that people have attributed to dreams that inspired what they did when they wake up. So I wouldn't say that's inevitably a negative thing. Sometimes people dream about some task that they're getting to, it's like the Greek myth of Sisyphus where they roll the rock up the hill and then it rolls back down, and they roll it up and it rolls back down. And those kind of dreams can reflect a stressful ongoing situation.
You know, Kiki, earlier you mentioned wife, mother two times over, businesswoman, but then you mentioned that you are in postgraduate school. Do you think at some point that it would be better to stop piling on? I'm not suggesting not achieve, not reach for the stars, but that's a lot, unless your husband and your children are yes, dear, yes, mommy.
Right. I think that everybody's situation is relative to them. And so for me, although it seems like a lot, it's not unmanageable for me. And I think that that's everyone's situation. So someone can look at your situation and be like, oh my God, you have so much going on. And I would say, yeah, but I can handle this. And I know my limits. And I think that people need to know their limits. This might be too much for some people, but for me, I'm able to manage it. And luckily, I have an amazing husband who is, very supportive, and he's, at home right now taking care of our daughter. And I'm able to do the things that I love to do in terms of going to school and, speaking and, coaching people to, step into their purpose. And so I do believe that other people can put their own onus on you in terms of what's too much for you.
Are you bored? That's not a joke. I'm serious. Are you doing all of these things because you have the kind of personality that needs input?
Well, I do have the kind of personality that needs, you remember I told you I grew up in a very stressful,
difficult situation. Yeah.
So I do have the kind of personality that, I need something going on. If I don't have something going on, then I do feel like there's something wrong or there's something missing. And I've always been like this. So I do consider it, achievement, in my books. And I know that once I finish the PhD, I mean, I have two master's degrees already as well. But I know when I finish the PhD, at least I'm done with school.
Mm-hmm.
And I can.
Are you sure?
Yes. I'm sure.
There are always other options.
No, not for me.
A surgeon, But
I'm going to leave that alone.
But you mentioned also about taking a break.
Mm-hmm.
Even as you just suggested, need, input.
Yes.
And stimuli. Do you take breaks to balance the you that you are?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I just got back from a 4-day trip in Mexico.
Okay.
Last weekend, as a matter of fact. So here's what I do. I call it the 3-month power cycle. It's something that I created, meaning you work really hard, you work smart, you work diligent for 3 months, and then you take 3 days off. And so I consider it 3 months on, 3 days off. And so at the end of a quarter period, 3 months, I always do something for 3 days, whether it's relaxing, going on a trip like I just went to Mexico, or doing a staycation, doing a girlfriend's trip, something like that. I normally take those days off. I spend it with my daughter. I spend it with my husband, and I replenish myself. I renew the energy that I need to go for another 3 months so that I can hit the goals that I've set for myself.
And Dr. Melman, one of the other issues when you're talking about people who have jobs that require a great deal of productivity, or entrepreneurs that they get up at 6 or 5 or 4 and they're working all day, every day, 8 days a week. If they are not taking the break that Kiki is talking about, what could be the detrimental effects of that constant stress day in, day out, month to month?
Well, I mentioned before the autonomic nervous system, and that when we're in the fight or flight mode, or the compete mode, or the what do I have to do next mode, our sympathetic nervous system can be in overdrive, and that elevates our heart rate, makes our muscles more tense. And we need a balance of sympathetic and parasympathetic activity. And the parasympathetic nervous system slows the heart, and it syncs the heart with our breathing, and it relaxes our cardiovascular system. And this kicks in at night when people have healthy sleep. So if stress is unmitigated and without this kind of break, both the 3-day break and the nightly break, the chronic activation of the sympathetic nervous system takes its toll. People develop high blood pressure. They gain weight. Their insulin sensitivity is modified. And then that can become a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm. With that said, 4 days in Mexico, when did you start to relax? First day? Second day?
Well, relaxing for me is relative.
What's that word? Maybe to talk to you about your relatives.
But no, I have a joke with my husband, because I tell him I always want to go on a week vacation because it takes me 3 days to calm down.
Exactly.
It's my kind of personality. But I will say this. I got to do amazing things with one of my great friends. And so I did get to relax. I got to relax on the beach.
But the question, but don't misunderstand the question. You were there for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
When you touchdown, you got into your hotel room or whatever, and you put your bags down. When did you really relax?
For me, it was day two.
Day two.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on inside on day one?
Day one, it was just the excitement of being there. And so, you know, seeing the resort and figuring out what the plan was for the next couple of days there. And so it was very hard to relax on day one. But day two, I know that I'm here for the next couple of days. And so I was able to settle into a routine and enjoy, just like literally enjoy the scenery.
Which goes back to the original point that I made in the beginning of the discussion, Dr. Melman. Stress versus excitement. She was saying that on that first day, she was excited, but not stressed, not relaxed, but not stressed. Does that sound right?
Sure. Human beings are not designed to just have one calm state of mind at all times. Mm-hmm. Life challenges us. We respond to the challenge. And then hopefully after responding, we get more relaxed than we were.
I only have a few minutes left. You said something else that I wanted to drill down on real quick. And I think that whether you're able to take a vacation, a staycation, or just a moment to yourself, restorative sleep, if someone is having stress-related sleep issues, what do you suggest?
I suggest, hearkening back to your example, that they wind down before they go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So if you're working till 10:45 and then go to sleep at 11, you're not going to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
Winding down activity is very important.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of things. I mean, sometimes people try to hasten that process by using alcohol. And unfortunately, that doesn't work in the long run, because it wears off fairly quickly and the person's up again at 2 a.m. feeling all keyed up.
Not even a glass of wine?
Well, one glass of wine.
Or is it alcohol is alcohol?
But perhaps with dinner, not right before bedtime.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And exercise is very helpful. I don't recommend exercising right before you go to bed, but if you can exercise earlier in the day or even in the morning before you start work, that can de-stress a person, help them function, and help them unwind and relax at night.
Final thoughts from you, Kiki?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with Dr. Millman about the exercising. I get up in the morning time and I work out. I either go run or I spin. But that actually makes me start my day off really, really, really good. I feel like I'm ahead of the game when I actually work out. And I just think that, you know, we need to mentally prepare. Mm-hmm. When we're stressed, a lot of times our mind wanders and we have all these negative thoughts. So I feel like if you can literally change the way you think, start thinking more positive thoughts about your life, about your day, prepare yourself mentally for your day before you even go out of the house, set your intention to have a good day, then things will be like 1,000 times better.
That's a good way to end this conversation. I want to thank both of you, Dr. Thomas Millman and Kiki Ramsey, for sharing your thoughts about dealing with stress. So both of you, just be cool.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, April 11th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.